Hello and welcome to Holden Village. Today is Monday, August 4th, 2003. Today's session is entitled, What is Contemplative Prayer, and Do I Have to Keep My Eyes Closed? A session with Spiritual Director Marlene Muller, number MUM-2003-04. Let's listen in.
Marlene Muller, our session is titled, What is Contemplative Prayer, and Do I Have to Keep My Eyes Closed? Last week what is contemplative prayer, and will it feel like I'm praying underwater? And the week before that it was, what is contemplative prayer, and is it okay if I fall asleep? So just to begin with, I was wondering if those are some of my stereotypes and sort of fears about what it means to pray in general, and kind of specifically with contemplative prayer. Do you have any stereotypes or fears or things that you see as contemplative prayer that are not possible, that are kind of negative? You have, you can't be open. You have to have some stereotypes or something.
Well, just those things that you mentioned, falling asleep.
Or maybe that you just need to be like in this space all by yourself and not have any distractions around you, and you always have to carve out this.
I don't have time.
It has to be set apart and particular. And
on your schedule.
Right.
That you should, every time, be able to get into this wonderful meditative space.
Recollect yourself.
No other thoughts pop into your head.
No. That's right. No, not impure thoughts either. Definitely.
And not your grocery list.
Is it community forming or isolated?
Because
we're called to do things correct.
Anything else people think of?
Thinking I'm doing it the wrong way.
It points off. Like at the end, you might only get a C.
Is it for everyone?
Or does it have to be reminded, does it have to be just for people that preferably either they are nuns or they have been nuns? And they walk slowly, not real fast. We'll take a look at all those, but let's start, rather than talking about prayer, let's actually start with prayer. And a kind of contemplative way to pray, to pay attention to our breath. If there's anything in the contemplative tradition that is a constant, it's silence. And one of the things I think we all know, when we are silent, we start to notice how fast our minds are going. So sometimes a little something like breathing and slowing down the breath helps to slow down the mind so that we can be more fully present where we are in this moment. So if it feels comfortable and natural to you, I invite you to take a couple deep breaths. And just to notice any tension that you might have in your body, and starting at your head and your face, especially your mouth and your eyes. Just notice if there's any tension, and if you can, to relax a little. And then just going down to your shoulders and back. If it helps to do a head roll or something that you're familiar with, feel free to do that. And if you can't relax it, and you can just notice that you feel tense, that's fine too. Then just traveling down your back and along your arms, noticing if your hands are clenched and kind of defended against our time, or if they're open, and if you can open them a little bit. And then passing that place lower in your belly, down in your diaphragm where your breath comes from, and noticing if your breath is coming from up high in your chest or from down low. Then traveling down your legs and your feet. Noticing your feet on the ground and you yourself being grounded and present right here. And letting your breath come just a little slower, maybe than it has been. Listen and see if Holy Spirit brings to your mind or your heart a person that you might want to dedicate this time to, or a people group, anyone that comes up that you don't have to fight too hard to think of, but who might present yourself that God wants you to just dedicate this prayer period. I invite you in this silence to recall your own willingness for God, to remember your deeper desire as much as you can right now for the divine. What do you long for? What do you desire from God today? Lord, this morning we open ourselves to you as best we can. We trust that you'll find us where we each need to be found. Thank you for the gift of your love and your presence with us in this moment. Amen. Contemplative prayer is simple awareness. Openness to things just as they are. It's not trying to force something, not trying to not force something, but just a simple awareness to life and and God as it's given in this moment. An example that where that became more real for me was when I was on a retreat in Maryland, and there were some deer in this field. And you know how if you're on a retreat or you're in some spiritual setting where you really want to be spiritual and religious. So I saw these deer in this field, and I started thinking, oh, look, there are these deer in this field. And I was noticing the deer and sort of approaching them, and the deer were noticing me and backing away, and I kept coming after the deer, and the deer kept kind of going away from me until pretty soon we were, I don't know what we were doing, kind of caught up in this, me chasing after them and them saying, oh, we're not going to let you chase after us. So finally we got down in this ravine, and I thought, okay, I'm done with this. And I went back, and later that night, I came outside, and there's a light outside this building, and it came on, and it illumined these deer. And I was sort of surprised, and they were surprised, and we just stood there. And I gazed at them, and they gazed at me, and I kept gazing over at them, and they kept gazing over at me. And we were just together there, and it was very nice. And pretty soon, they were done, and I was done, and we both went our separate ways. The latter is what contemplative prayer is like. And I think maybe if we spent some time, we could all have our own examples and times when you prayed, or maybe it wasn't to you praying, but you were just present to God and present to another person just as they were, without you putting your judgments or having to do anything with that. And that's contemplative prayer. It's more about consent than effort. That's a phrase that Father Thomas Keating uses, who is might be familiar with his books and his teaching about centering prayer. We're so driven and want so much to achieve something, but prayer is always a gift. And it's not anything that we can get, no matter how good we are, how much we want it, and it's not something that we can miss, no matter how bad we feel we are or how distracted we are. It is always a gift. And that, I think, kind of addresses again the idea of, well, who can be a contemplative? I mean, maybe only certain people can. But it's God's love, out of God's love, that it's for everyone, and it's not confined to any one person. Probably the person we would most recognize who's brought that home to us in our modern day would be Thomas Merton, the monk who wrote so many books, although supposedly he was a hermit and in silence. He did a lot of talking, but they did in silence. And so he's a modern person that's affiliated with contemplative prayer. And you might also recognize other names, Teresa of Avila or John of the Cross. They were actually close to each other. St. Benedict and the Benedictines, they popularized, well, that's probably not a good word, but they made available a form of praying called Lectio Divina that maybe you've heard of, you haven't prayed with, which is a methodless method of praying that, and some of us have prayed all our lives and just didn't know there was a fancy name to it. But that was a prayer form that wasn't just for the monks, but that the monks taught and maybe didn't even have to teach so much as just gently tell about to lay people in their area. And so there are these different kinds of prayer forms that come out of contemplative prayer. There's centering prayer, like I just mentioned, or Lectio Divina. There's guided meditations, maybe you've done some of those. Or there's breath prayer, like you just began with, a simple relaxation. Or sometimes interior visualizations. All those are just ways of helping us to enter into God's presence. They aren't anything that saves us or that'll give us the in or that'll make it happen. They're just a little something to do. And just sort of to illustrate that for just a second here, see if you can turn to God without doing anything, without running from doing anything, just sort of in this silence, simply and openly turn to God. Maybe in that moment you were able to enter into almost an immediate, easy presence to God, and then there's nothing necessary to do except to thank God for that, given awareness of God's presence. Maybe you're like some of the rest of us who didn't even begin to open up to God's presence. Or maybe you started to and then were distracted immediately by that itch on your right foot or anything. You know, a million things come swooping in. Which is when Thomas Merton says, you've got to have a good sense of humor to pray, because there's no way to escape all that stuff coming in. Well, that's when kind of giving the mind, you're giving sort of the dog a bone to occupy the mind, helps to drop down deeper into that place. Maybe it's, you could define it as your more authentic self in God or in Christ. So scripturally, you can maybe say this contemplative prayer comes out of what it means to pray without ceasing. And there's a book called The Cloud of Unknowing, which is an old book written by an author named Unknown, Anonymous, that speaks to that really eloquently. And there are many, especially recently, many good books that can go into more depth about where the tradition of contemplative prayer, it can become very complicated to be such a simple thing, very fast. And you can find out about more the scriptural, what different people interpret the scriptural history of it to be. But real simply, it seems that back in the 4th century in Egypt, the monks, maybe you've heard about the desert mothers and fathers that went out to the desert in order to be more in prayer. And interesting, because the word that's used, I'm not sure if it's by them or about them, to be in prayer means rest, which, I mean, that's not been my experience of prayer. Prayer, you really had to try. And for me, prayer always sort of smelled like burnt coffee. It's, I don't know, something where you're always kind of stuck in a dark room on a pretty day and you had to pray. But that was not the experience of these desert mothers and fathers. They were out there praying and being with God. And another discipline, you could say, or another sort of prayer form, like those other prayer forms we talked about, was spiritual direction that came out of that, where people would come to them and want to talk to them. And of course, that's when they got these bizarre answers, like sort of like Zen koans that didn't really make sense, but that seemed to hit some inner truth. And in modern spiritual direction, it's not so much you go to, sometimes it is, I suppose, but it isn't so much you go to someone who's set apart, but you might go see someone who's just in the same heap of chaos you are, and together listen for what God might be calling you deeper to. One of the things I was drawn to about contemplative prayer was the acknowledgement of our helplessness, that there was nothing I could do, like I mentioned earlier, to make it happen. And the same with our breath when we're breathing, and we remember that even this breath is dependent on God, and the next breath, and the next breath. And it's the same kind of way we come to God in prayer is, I can't do it. I can't not be distracted. I can't be quiet. I can't relax my shoulders. I can't even want you as much as I want to want you. Well, then it's time to back up, I think, and come to God like a man named John Chapman, would say is to pray as you can, not as you can. The most authentic prayer for you is the one that is from you most authentically. It's nothing that you make happen or any form that you do because you're told to do it. It's what feels right for you at the time. So, also in spiritual direction, it's not the spiritual director who guides you, really, or directs you. Guide is a better word, but directs, well, that's a terrible word, because they're helpless also. All of us are dependent on God. But in spiritual direction, the director has agreed to stand in God's presence with you and for you. And together, someone mentioned this to me while I was here last week. It's kind of like an accompanist. And that's right. I like to think of somebody, while you're playing an instrument, turning the pages for you. Well, what about this page? How do you think you might want to play that one? Or how will this one feel to play? And so the director is always dependent on the Holy Spirit guiding him or her in that setting. There's a great quote by Tilden Edwards that talks about spiritual direction, and he says, the point of this time is not great clarity, but great willingness for God to be God in all the unpredictable and unknowable ways that God lives in and through us. Oh, you know, we really want that clarity. Instead of the kind of traveling the road together, another great example, I think, is the spiritual director as a midwife who helps create a ritualized nest for somebody to walk into and be in as God is birthing them into the next place that they need to be. At Holden, spiritual direction is just a chance to kind of try it out, which is not really true either. It's kind of like coming to this class. We're talking about contemplative prayer, and that's true, but we're also praying, and we're going to pray some more. And so the same is true here at Holden with spiritual direction, that you can come and try it out, but actually you're entering into whatever the Holy Spirit is doing right there in that moment. So it's more than just trying something out. If you all are willing, what I'd like to do next is try one of the prayer forms that I mentioned earlier together, and then be in silence with that for a while, and then break into small groups and gently talk about it. You don't need to say anything if you don't feel like talking about it. And then come back together at the end and talk in a large group a little bit about it. And this prayer form is called interior visualization. And if at any time this doesn't feel good to you or you just don't want to do it, you can tune me out, or if you want to just leave, that's fine too. There's no big push to do anything. But it's a prayer form where we use the senses to kind of bring us more into an awareness of God present with us in the moment. And it might not be one that you particularly care for, but it might be one that God has for you to try, and that God has for you as a way to know his or her presence more deeply. So let's give it a whirl. It probably will help to have your back somewhat straight, depending on you, but in many instances, it kind of helps to keep your attention. And we won't be silent for a real long time, but at least 5 minutes, maybe a little longer. So let's go back to the awareness of our breath that we started with. Remembering how God breathed life into Adam. And the Holy Spirit, that word, ruah, meaning breath, the feminine presence of that breath in us. Notice the back of your throat that's closed and tight, or if it's relaxed and open. with your eyes closed or just looking down open at the ground if that feels more comfortable. Look to the center of your forehead. And focus on the spot that's between and just slightly above your eyebrow. You might want to gently place a finger on that spot for a moment. And let yourself gaze inwardly at this spot, gently and steadily. You can come back to your breath as you need to, remembering to breathe slowly and easily, just naturally. Now let an image of bright, clear light form, like the sun as the clouds and the fog clears. It may begin as a tiny dot and evolve into a shape, maybe of a cross or star or circle. Try not to force an image, just let it happen. Can't see the light image, just know that it's there. And let your focus remain on the center of your forehead very gently. Let the light represent the light of Christ. And as thoughts and other images rise, let them be quietly absorbed by the light. Eventually, as you sit in silence, you may want to allow the light image to expand until it fills your entire body. And you sense your whole self lovingly known by God. As we continue to pray this way in silence for 5 minutes or so, gently return to your slow breathing when you become distracted, trusting God to hold whatever you bring. And as different thoughts come in to capture you or kidnap you, maybe you can see them just as leaves floating down a river. And you don't have to throw any rocks at the leaves. And you don't have to build them into boats. They can just float by as you look deeper into the stream toward God. At the end of our time, I'll ring a little bell, and then we'll pause and we'll move into small groups. But for right now, let Christ's light illuminate you. Lumen Christi, the light of Christ. Thank you. say anything to you, just in this brief time, anything to you about your life and God right now?
Expect God to make some results happen rather than an allowing process. Even with the visualizing the light, you know, it's tempting to say, okay, well, I'm supposed to be seeing some sort of a radiant image of the cross becoming lighter or something. What my experience was is I saw I had light on this side, but not so much light on this side. There seemed to be kind of a line in the middle that changed a bit. And, the image my mind was the Son of the Mountains.
Oh, yeah. I liked your image of the river and so many other things intrude on your other busyness of life thoughts intrude on your attempt to be quiet and contemplative to let them be like a new flowing river. I thought about that.
Steal from the best.
Yeah, that's funny.
Doesn't matter, it works.
Yeah. I find a tendency to doze off and then wake up with a jolt. And that's kind of what I've done similar things. Part of group spiritual direction.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to tell, I think, sometimes. Is that just because I need more sleep and I'm just tired? Or is it a way of me resisting something I want to get away from? I don't know.
Maybe a combination.
Yeah, right.
I fall asleep also, but... in a way, I don't, somehow that feeling of this, when I was relaxed enough to fall asleep, it's less of the crazy thought motion is happening in my head, and in a way it's like some kind of a model of when I'm having a hard time relaxing, it's like I could bring myself closer to that sleepy state of I wasn't thinking of it as a totally negative thing this morning.
So there is still a way for you to be present to God in it, is that what you're saying?
It felt very peaceful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I first did contemplative prayer with the Benedictines and we retreated as a group, and everybody in our group was feeling very guilty because all we wanted to do was sleep. But the sister said, don't worry about it. You do it. If that's what your body needs, that's what you need. And not to feel guilty about it. Mm-hmm. Don't.
Yeah, that's nice.
Well, I have a question. I had a problem with the light because I was trying to visualize the light. And then I sort of visualized a sample of different kinds of light to see which one was the best. Is this the real light, or am I making this up? And so, do you take the light that you get, the light that comes, and accept it? Is there a certain kind of light that you look for, or does it work if you come up with a kind of light and work with that? Is that legitimate as well?
Oh yeah, I think that the light it's like I was saying earlier, it's just a bone to the dog. It's just a something to help. And only as much as it helps, then use it. If it's not helpful or it's distracting or it's leading you in all different places, then I just let it be.
Okay, so it is actually something that you can manufacture to occupy your brain?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
But
so it's not the end in itself?
Right, okay. That's right. It's not light, the end in and of itself.
That light image was a dog, I think.
Yeah. The only end in of itself is God. God's beyond light images, prayer forms, what we can do or not do. God encompasses it all. So that we don't go over, I'm going to sort of insert here an artificial ending in this time. I have a few handouts for you if you're interested. You don't have to take them if you're not. And if there aren't enough and you'd like one, then see me and I can get you more. One is just a kind of a collection on a couple things about prayer and spiritual direction. Just a few, not trying not to get too complicated, just a few things. Another one is by a guy named Gerald May, and it's about prayer being about love and why it frightens us and why we want to domesticate it and take its wildness out of it and just some encouragement to maybe not have to do that. Which leads me to a plug for this book that's in the bookstore that I think is really great called Simply Saying. Maybe you've read it. It's kind of the basic message is, we don't have to do too much to get better. We just kind of have to sometimes fiddle a little bit, but for the most part, hang in there. You're not alone. And he is a psychiatrist who worked for 25 years with hardcore addicts and in prisons, and was in Vietnam, and he's a tender soul. I think he was maybe originally a Lutheran, but he's gone all sorts of places and still is in a basic Christian faith.
Who's the author?
May is his last name, M-A-Y. I think he's related to Rollo May, the existentialist, how we might want to describe him. And then this is kind of a wild excerpt from Thomas Merton's book, New Seeds of Contemplation, called What Contemplation Is Not. So I'll pass all these around, and you can take one if you want. And then I'll just close this with a poem by Denise Levertov, who's one of my favorite poets. And this book, there's a few copies also in the bookstore. It's a collection of her religious poems, which I think are really nice. And so this is a poem called In Whom We Live and Move and Have Our Being. How can you go wrong with a title like that? Birds afloat in air's current, sacred breath. No, not breath of God, it seems, but God, the air, enveloping the whole globe of being. It's we who breathe in, out, in the sacred. Leaves astir, our wings rising, ruffled, but only the saints take flight. We cower in cliff crevice or edge out gingerly on branches close to the nest. The wind marks the passage of holy ones riding that ocean of air. Slowly their wake reaches us, rocks us. But storm or still, numb or poised in attention, we inhale, exhale, inhale, encompassed, encompassed. And thanks for sharing yourselves and coming.
Thank you.